I thank you for this opportunity to stand and address this Honorable House on the Appropriation Bill 2012-2013. Permit me to extend greetings to all St. Lucians and especially the people of Castries Southeast. As I look at the appropriation bill and I listen intently, I just want to remind members of this Honorable House that I stand here to represent collectively the voices of the people of Castries Southeast, and I do so with humility. This will in no way allow their concerns, fears, and anxieties to be swept aside by the fancy speeches and pronouncements. While I watch and see affirmative action being taken against certain people by this government, Mr. Speaker, the good book says that we are judged by both what we say and what we do. And it also says that by their fruits you shall know them. And I will make just one more remark in this area before I move to the substantive matter. In an encounter with the Pharisees, Jesus said to them, "The fact that you claim you know makes you guilty if you don't do it." Mr. Speaker, I have listened to the speech. I have had the opportunity to go to certain aspects of it because of limited time, and that's the norm of how it is done. So it's not a finger pointing at the other side or the government side. It is just the norm. But when I look at the presentation of this appropriation bill, where we are supposed to debate the economic situation and state of the country, and I see the three-point plan for recovery, I think it's on page 13 of the document, job creation, construction expansion, and fiscal consolidation. Mr. Speaker, I am not sure and I'm not convinced that even the Minister of Finance believed what he presented, because there was no conviction in his presentation. And that's my assessment, Mr. Speaker. You know, by way of passing, Mr. Speaker, I was happy to hear the member for Castries South talk about the new thinking, because this is what all politicians will be judged by: what we say and what we do. You know why I'm particularly happy about the mention of the new thinking? It's because, Mr. Speaker, previously, Mikud North and Mikud South had been forgotten, almost abandoned, under the previous Labour administration. That is why, Mr. Speaker, the road from Praleh to Canals was kept. But like I said, I'm happy. I am happy that now there is a new thinking and we don't expect the marginalization. Mr. Speaker, let's talk about the state of the economy, which is one of the key points that this appropriation bill or policy statement seeks to address. But Mr. Speaker, We must not be fooled by the statement of the Prime Minister on the economy and the measures he has proposed. It is clear, Mr. Speaker, that the Minister of Finance made some serious assumptions about the citizens of this country. And the best from my base, he has assumed, Mr. Speaker, that the citizens of this country do not read and that they can be easily fooled. I say that because any serious analysis, Mr. Speaker, of the social and economic survey does not support the conclusions drawn by him and by extension the solutions that he proposes. Let's look at some information in the appendix of the Economic and Social Review. Mr. Speaker, what is the actual situation? The deficits recorded there as follows. 2007-2008, negative 1.9. 08-09, 0.9. 2009-2010, 3.1. 2010-2011, 5.1, and all of these are in the negative. And then 2011-2012, 7.6. Mr. Speaker, the average of these 5 years is 3.72 in the negative. Let us compare, Mr. Speaker, against the last 4 years of the previous Labour administration. 2003, 2004, negative 4. 2004, 2005, negative 3.2. 2005, 2006, negative 7.5. 2006, 2007, negative 6.1. The average deficit, Mr. Speaker, 5.2 over the last 4 years. And these are the statistics
Are you rising on a point of...
A point of clarification. Could the honourable member quote where Mr. Speaker comes from? Do you still mind that?
Honourable member, are you quoting from the address?
From the Economic and Social Review.
What page?
In the appendix. Mr. Speaker, just give me a minute. Mr. Speaker, I didn't invent the numbers like some people do. It's on page 28, table 31. You Mr. Speaker, and the figures are there. The figures are there. Overall balance, Mr. Speaker, in the Economic and Social Review, page 23, table 41. Mr. Speaker, I will move on. I will move on. The figures that I am quoting there, Mr. Speaker, are in the Economic and Social Review. And it is clear that I indicated the deficit because the same numbers I quoted under the UWP, the 5 years of the UWP administration, Mr. Speaker, that they were applauding on the other side. These were the same figures on the same page that I am quoting for the last 4 years of the Labour administration. But Mr. Speaker, that's what the spin doctors do. They try to blind the eyes of the people. Mr. Speaker, the point is that there is no need for panic about the economy being so bad. Because you know what the intention is, Mr. Speaker? The Minister of Finance tried to paint a very bad picture of the economic situation in St. Lucia to justify the introduction of VAT as the only savior to take us out of where we are. That is the problem, Mr. Speaker. That is why the panic is being created, Mr. Speaker. And so do I. So do I. And so, Mr. Speaker, when you look at the real figures in its totality, there's nothing extraordinary. And I'm laying this foundation for my presentation, Mr. Speaker, because of the fact that there are persons who want to tell us that they can be a savior for St. Lucia. But the record of performance speaks for itself. And so, Mr. Speaker, if we are analyzing the economic situation in St. Lucia to make a determination on the way forward, we must go back and look at what was there. How, if I have to build any hope in what is being presented, then I have to look at the performance of this government previously. And I am saying, if during a period of time, Mr. Speaker, when the world economic situation was bright, some of the best years of growth, Mr. Speaker, was about the first 6 years of the new decade, of the last decade, 2001, 2010. The first 6 years were around the best years, Mr. Speaker. Apart from the event of 9/11, the world was on an upward path of growth, Mr. Speaker. Looking at the situation, if the deficit, the average deficit during that period of growth in the world economy, this Labour administration could not have grown the economy sufficiently to wipe out the deficit. How could I expect, Mr. Speaker, in this global situation, that these same people can come in and do something extraordinary, something special to take the country out of the situation that it is? Mr. Speaker, I have said it and I will say it again. When we try to create panic in the country, to instill fear in the people. And if you look at the deficit during the last UWP administration, you'd see 0708, 1.9, 0.9 the year after, 3.1. Mr. Speaker, it was the year 2010, 2011, and 2011, 2012 that we saw a steep increase. What was the cause of this steep increase, Mr. Speaker? We have to look at the events. You cannot compare apples with mangoes. You have to look at the situation as it existed. What were the contributing factors during that period of time? You had Hurricane Thomas. You had the agricultural sector almost completely wiped out, Mr. Speaker, for a period of time. You had a downturn in arrivals due to that period of recovery from Hurricane Thomas. You had reconstruction work. Mr. Speaker, during that period, there was a high subsidy on key commodities like rice, flour, and sugar. And you also had all the basket of goods with no tax. All of that during that period of time. There was subsidy on the cooking gas. There was an increase of 14.5% to public servants. You had the worst financial crisis affecting the world. You were talking about 6 consecutive quarters of negative growth in the world economy. Mr. Speaker, against all of these challenges, the drought of 2010, all of these factors put together contributed to the increase. But it is not an unusual situation, because in 2006, 2005, 2006, there was just a 0.1 difference between the UWP administration performance in terms of the deficit and the Labour Party during the best years. So, Mr. Speaker, the point I am making is that the attempt to paint a gloomy picture, there are challenges, there are difficulties, but to try and say that things are so bad that we must move in a particular direction regardless of what it is, Mr. Speaker, I believe is misleading and a calculated move to blind the eyes of St. Lucians. But as somebody told me this morning, the rain is washing it away and the people are seeing. Mr. Speaker, moving on. The programs being introduced, the NICE program. Mr. Speaker, if we are looking for things to stimulate the economy, there's a difference between creating jobs and buying jobs. Anybody who has money can buy jobs, because you can pay people to do nothing. You can pay them to do anything because you have the money. Mr. Speaker, I can understand in the interim. I can understand in the interim. You'll have your time to respond. In the interim, there may be certain measures that a government wants to introduce. But what is the sustainability of it? How will these mushroom into permanent jobs? How will it happen? Mr. Speaker, I heard a lot of comments about, and I tried to understand what was presented. I tried to understand the job creation and the construction expansion. And I heard the member for Castries South talk about the expansion, the jobs that's going to be brought forward in the sector as it relates to construction and the package that is being offered. But Mr. Speaker, when there is intellectual dishonesty in what we present, and I heard the member remind the member for Castri, for Nikud South, of the ninth commandment, do not bear false witness. So, Mr. Speaker, the items being presented, cement, sand, steel, not all of these items are CARICOM items and they have no duty on them, Mr. Speaker. What is the duty on cement? What is the duty on steel?
Mr. Speaker, please allow the member on his feet to deliver his address in silence.
Mr. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, but I can handle it. Mr. Speaker, when you hear certain presentations being made, we have to wonder, and that is why I said the people of St. Lucia will know. Because what is offered on one hand is taken by the other hand. And we will find out, Mr. Speaker, it's not what we say here alone in this honorable house that matters. It is what happens out there. And the people will judge. The people will judge whether there is a benefit or not. They will make that final determination, Mr. Speaker. You know why? Because they have a lot of things that are presented. I went through... There's this document, Mr. Speaker. The Consumption Tax Amendment Order. There are thousands and thousands of items in here that are rated 0, 10, 20, 30%. I checked just the first few pages, those that are between 0 and 10%. And I realized that there are hundreds and hundreds of items. So when I sat here, Mr. Speaker, and I look at the presentation on the screen, and the deliberate attempt to show a number of the items that the price will possibly go down, and a couple of those that would go up, I know in there are many thousands more, and the people of St. Lucia will determine in the future the impact of that upon them. It is not what we debate in this house and what we say. And so, Mr. Speaker, when you look at the issue of VAT, Mr. Speaker, as an attempt to solve the problems of the country, Mr. Speaker, I have to ask myself, in a period when you have low growth, what stimulates an economy is if you can lower the cost of doing business. If you can lower the cost of doing business, it will naturally result in more buoyancy in the business sector. But when you increase the cost of doing business, what does it do? When the economy is not as vibrant as it needs to be, Mr. Speaker, you're going to get a further downturn. And so, when I see what is offered, if you look at the items on the building construction, the number of items that are 0 and 10%. I mean, you talk about the farmers, even the cutlasses, the prices would be raised. I am saying, Mr. Speaker, every tool that a contractor is going to use, the prices will increase. It means that the labor cost will increase. And even the provisions made through the bank, the additional cost. And we have to understand, Mr. Speaker, not everybody will qualify And I particularly noted the time. 3 months from the 8th takes us into the middle of August, and that is introduced right there on the 1st of September. So before builders, before those who want to do anything can even begin to enjoy some of the benefits that are offered, it is given in one hand and it is taken in the other. That is the economic policy that I see there, Mr. Speaker. And so it is clear to me, I know he said 18 months. I was making the direct correlation between it being implemented, between it being implemented in August, so that will be in effect in September. So when you claim the concession, you are paying, on the other hand, something on the back. So you're not really getting a concession. You might be more in the negative than you are in the positive. So don't think I didn't understand. Maybe you didn't understand. Sorry, Mr. Speaker. For speaking directly to the member. Mr. Speaker, I move on. I've heard a lot about the equity in distribution. Mr. Speaker, if they call it equity, so be it. But I have not seen the equity. And that's why I said, those of us who didn't know, we didn't know. But when we claim we know, then we become guilty. And the members sitting on this side of the house, some of them, yes, during the time they were in opposition, they made an outcry about not being fair in the distribution. So they understood what it meant not to be fair. But I need to ask the question, how fair have they been sitting on this side of the house? Still early to decide? In the little things you judge them. Yes, if you can be faithful over little things, you can be ruler over many things. And so, Mr. Speaker, during the previous administration, the UWP administration, and I'm talking about the stimulus package that is being offered, and it is presented as something that is going to solve our problem. But Mr. Speaker, are they really creating new jobs? Are new jobs being created? Because I will say this. When we did 3 stimulus packages per year, Mr. Speaker, average 1.7 million. And I know the constituencies on the government side, Mr. Speaker, got 100,000. The constituencies on the opposition side was allocated 60,000. Yes, you have it. Mr. Speaker, during that time, the member for Castries South said it was unfair. Okay, it is unfair. But Mr. Speaker, looking at the job creation in this sector, as parliamentary rep, I have been given the opportunity to select 25 people for the STEP program. 25 people at $350 would work out to $8,750. That is the allocation to opposition parliamentarians. And I heard the member for Castries East say he has the figures. The lowest allocation, because I expected that, the lowest allocation that I know my ministry made to members opposite was $20,000. $20,000 under our stimulus program. And you know what, Mr. Speaker? At $350 a person, it would have created 57 jobs. So when I hear what is being presented here as a new package of job creation, and I heard the Minister of Finance indicate that during the period they've been there, they have created 6,000 jobs in this sector. Mr. Speaker, under the stimulus package that operated previously, we would have created an average of 5,028 jobs every quarter. So if you look at the three, it's not every quarter. It's three times we did it, Mr. Speaker. We did it three times for the year. So it would have been when school closes during the summer to help parents, before Christmas and before Easter. These were the three packages that was run, Mr. Speaker. That would have created 15,084 jobs. So if we want to compare statistics on job creation, the figures are there, you know, Mr. Speaker. The people who are employed, they were there. And some of the members know that they chose both the job and the person. And so, Mr. Speaker, moving on, when you look at the stimulus package that is being offered, then, Mr. Speaker, I move on to another aspect of the same job creation. And I see we were speaking about, under the NICE program, that we are going to train small contractors to be able to do. Now, Mr. Speaker, I don't want to believe is T canal they're going to do, is T sidewalk, and is T footpath. Because when we were on this side of the house, Mr. Speaker, and we divided the project into smaller packages to allow these same people to get the job, what were they shouting? Gouvernement T canal. But it was the same little contractors that we trained, because we saw what they are now presenting as some new vision of training people and of giving them something. But Mr. Speaker, we passed that stage. Why are we coming to this honorable house with something like this to make it look like we have invented some ingenious mechanism to create jobs? Mr. Speaker, during the time I was Minister of Communications and Works, when I started to divide the project, I got resistance. The technical people told me too many things to supervise. I said, no, too many people are out of work in this country, and we have to create an avenue for them to be employed. Today, it is presented in this honorable house in a nice statement saying that, you know, this is a new vision of job creation. Mr. Speaker, you know, And I heard 800 jobs are going to be created in this area on a yearly basis, Mr. Speaker. The Ministry of Communications and Works created over 1,000 jobs in this arena. But these were not documented. We didn't come and beat our chest and say, we give this person work and we give that person work. And so, Mr. Speaker, when I hear what is presented as the means of getting us out of the situation that we are in, Mr. Speaker, this is just a smoke screen. A smoke screen of job creation that they are speaking about, but there's no reality to what they are saying. It's not anything new. It is something they call nice. But because we didn't give it some fancy acronym, so it was not recognized. But so be it. So be it. But as you go through the constituencies, you will find some of the same people you accuse of building the drains crooked are the ones now who can build the drain straight. Because if we never gave them a chance in the first place, they would not have been able to do it straight today. Take note. Take note. Now, Mr. Speaker, there's quite a bit being said about the ladies. And I appreciate that. The single mothers. Because they have to be assisted. Because only a mother really understands. You know, men are reckless and careless. Let me qualify this statement. Some men. You can't fight me there. Some men are reckless and careless when it comes to their responsibility of caring for the children. And so the mothers have to bear the brunt of the burden. Some men. But Mr. Speaker, here's my concern. I remember some years ago, I looked at some study which said, I think at the time it was costing about $45 a day, if my memory serves me right, to keep a man in prison. Mr. Speaker, there are men who genuinely want to feed their children, to meet their obligations, but they cannot find employment. We take them and we send them to Bodilly. The children are still hungry when you send them to Bodilly. Now, Mr. Speaker, I would expect, instead of spending $45 to keep a man in prison and his child is still hungry, that we would initiate a program where we would say, instead of sending them to Bodilly, the money I would pay to keep them incarcerated, I will use that money to give them a job to do somewhere and let that money go directly towards the feeding of these children. I think that would be a better mechanism. That's a better mechanism, Mr. Speaker. Because when you send a father to prison, it has a psychological negative impact on that child. And we know we make it almost impossible for these men to get employment when they have a prison record. And so, Mr. Speaker, in the job creation that we spoke about, I saw nothing in there to deal with this. I heard about trying to prepare these people. And I listened intently to the Minister of Education. Mr. Speaker, I am a bit concerned. You know why I'm concerned? We wait for the people to get out there and then we want to give them the skills that are required. I have always said, and this administration would know, that the technical vocational school in Viewport was converted into a regular secondary school in order to meet the demand of universal secondary education. But Mr. Speaker, I don't want our young people to get out there on the street and then, after they have been influenced negatively, to try and find some appropriate training for them. Mr. Speaker, some of our young people are more technically inclined. And I would love to see a couple of our schools function as technical vocational schools so that they can learn a skill during the time they are there. You heard what I said. When we came in, universal secondary education had just been launched a couple of years. In fact, we had to complete two buildings, one at the KI Secondary School and one at the Mondido Secondary School, to finish housing the students under the... I am saying that every government has a vision of where they want to go and what they want to do. And I heard accusations leveled at the former Minister of Education, but I am saying that, Mr. Speaker, some of these monies that are allocated there to go and do some of these things. Can we not redirect some of these funds into the schools where these children can learn a trade?
I was right here.
Mr. Speaker, so instead of bringing nice and smile and all of these things, if we adequately prepare our workforce from the school, we don't have to invent all of these programs to say that they are better prepared. That's not the case, Mr. Speaker. Now, Mr. Speaker, I'm moving on. I've heard a lot said about the black bailout, and it was in the presentation on page 36, Mr. Speaker, about bad decision. Mr. Speaker, the facts are used conveniently. But the truth of the matter is, Mr. Speaker, the Crown never owned 469 acres of land. Mr. Speaker, the Crown did not own 469 acres of land. Because the Goddard lands accounted for 34.96 acres and the Borai land 49 acres. And both these parcels of land was bought by private treaty between the developer and the owners of these lands. So to come in this house and tell the people that the previous government made a bad decision and invested and caused the country to lose 469 acres of land is dishonest, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, in the Canals land, Canals, 66 acres of this land was owned by a Jamaican company, Super Club. Yes, if you don't want to pay for it, you give it back to him. You see, Mr. Speaker, there was a deliberate attempt to show that there was a bad deal. I will tell you one thing, Mr. Speaker. We made one mistake in dealing with this matter. And that one mistake, that was to give up the first right before the full $300 million was disbursed. And so, Mr. Speaker, I don't make excuses. You see, if I do something wrong, Mr. Speaker, I owe up and I say, now, based on information given, and I heard it, you are advised by technical people, you are given something, and you are given information, and based on the information, you make decisions. Mr. Speaker, I am convinced that this was not a bad decision. And the records will show. And time, I always say, will tell. Because you know what, Mr. Speaker? I heard about almost $60 million having to be paid. And my information, Mr. Speaker, is that there is an agreement to pay $8 million to the bank to get access to the 469 acres of land. The rest of the land, which was compulsorily acquired, can always be returned. That's the agreement that was signed. That's the agreement. That's the agreement that I know. And if you have something different, come and show it. Because, Mr. Speaker,
honourable member, you have 15 minutes remaining to conclude your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on this matter, and I would love people to come clean with the people of St. Lucia and tell them what it is. Because the Goddard land and the Borai land cost just over $5 million. And that becomes part of the arrangement. So what you find, Mr. Speaker, is a situation where you have a net deficit of $3 million. Now, yes, but Mr. Speaker, what was the previous arrangement? The previous arrangement, Mr. Speaker, was to sell the land at $35,000 an acre or $93,450 per acre. When we came in, and it was a deliberate policy decision of the government not to sell land but to invest it rather in shares. And it was invested at the value of $100,000 or $267,000 per acre. Now, Mr. Speaker, if we had gone with the plan of the previous government, the SLP government at the time, what would have happened is the land would have been sold. Sold at $35,000, which is a low market price, with the basis of getting an investment. It was not the company that went under. It was Singer Freelander, the bank that collapsed during the financial crisis. And what ended up happening, we would have lost the land and we still would not have had the development. So, Mr. Speaker, for the difference of $3 million, you now have access to the 469 acres of land that we would otherwise have lost. And, Mr. Speaker, because I said we have access to 469 acres of land, which meant that the biggest loser in that was the developer who had paid over $5 million for the two parcels of land by private treaty, which is the Borai and the Goddard land. So, Mr. Speaker, when people come to this honorable house and try to paint a picture about bad decisions, about how things were handled, they must tell the people the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Mr. Speaker, moving on, because I realize my time is past spent. Mr. Speaker, I was a bit taken aback.
Honorable members, please.
I was a bit taken aback by the fact that hospital bills were partially being wiped out, while people who had illegal connections with WASCO, their bills were completely wiped out. Now, Mr. Speaker, are we condoning illegal activity? Because you know why I am speaking on this subject? And I'm surprised. You know why I'm surprised? Because I had intensive discussions with WASCO on this matter, Mr. Speaker. And there was an interesting situation that developed in the Riviera area where some people had illegal connections. And even after arrangements were made for the payment, the WASCO would not make back their connection until they had paid in full. It is interesting, Mr. Speaker, that the same persons today, as I heard the Minister of Finance said, has agreed that you are going to wipe off all of these people with illegal connections, wipe off their debt, and give them a clean page. Mr. Speaker, there is always danger in going down that road because you are putting the law-abiding citizens of this country at a disadvantage. You are putting them in a situation, I have no problem. I would love to have seen all the medical bills for the people who cannot afford to pay for the hospital services wiped out, but they are called in to pay a percentage while persons who have been legally connected, some of them to other people's fights, are being rewarded. And Mr. Speaker, that will not be the last of it, because you know what? we are setting a precedent that we may not want to follow in the future. And WASCO can tell you the challenges they have with collecting revenues. And when you make a decision like this, then an average person can say, well, soon fai by say sa, si ma paye dro mwen pou kome la ne ko, le a lot gouvernement vin yo kai se member ay la ban. We need to be careful the signals that we are sending, because it is a dangerous signal. I believe there should have been some arrangement made. There should have been some responsibility on the part of those persons who have committed an illegal act. There should be a level of responsibility. You cannot allow this to go unchecked, Mr. Speaker, because we are setting a bad precedent for this country, and it will affect us in the years to come. The Dyer building. I always respect government's decision. The government made a decision. I will say one thing on this matter. I am watching, I am looking, and I am waiting to see who it will be sold to and at what price it will be sold to. I cannot tell the government, because we have had previous record and history to go by. Jalousy is a prime example. And I never had a problem with the buyer. I didn't have a problem with the integrity of the buyer. I had a problem with the seller. He sold state assets at one price, and a few months later, it was sold at a much higher price. But that is as much as I will say on this, Mr. Speaker. And I am watching, and I am waiting to see who the buyers are and at what price it will be sold. And the people of St. Lucia will judge. Mr. Speaker, I noted that there was no, while there was mention of the Verna intake and other rain harvesting mechanisms being put in place, I heard nothing about the desilting of the Rozo Dam. I heard no mention of it in the budget, in the appropriation bill, Mr. Speaker, and I have a concern, because I knew that there were about 17 landslides in the Rozo Dam. And thank God we didn't have a dry season, much of a dry season this year, so we did not suffer the consequences of water shortage, seeing in May that we have so much rain. But Mr. Speaker, this is not something that can continue unchecked. It is something that careful attention must be paid to. HIA, Mr. Speaker, Uranora International Airport. I note that the project has been suspended or cancelled. But, Mr. Speaker, I heard whether it's suspended or cancelled. Mr. Speaker, it is interesting that we are talking about job creation. It is interesting that when projects are self-financed, 90% of the cost of this effort was being paid by foreigners. 90% of the cost of the project. Now, I don't know what they don't understand on this side, Mr. Speaker. What I mean is the people who use the facility are the ones who are paying for it through the effort development charge. A slash revenue stream, Mr. Speaker. But the government has decided. But you know what this effort would have done? It would have created 900 permanent jobs upon completion. Not talking about jobs during the construction phase. Mr. Speaker, I noted that the Ministry of Tourism and certain pronouncements have been made that no airline support will be given, or the airline's money will not be spent in that arena.
Honourable Member, you have 5 minutes left to complete your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker, I know, and I'm watching, I know that people cannot swim to come to St. Lucia. At least if they have to swim, I hope that we don't have to pay Greenberg anything for using our waters to swim to St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, time will tell. It appears to me that there is a lack of understanding as to how to stimulate this economy and create the jobs that were promised. Jobs, jobs, and more jobs. But Mr. Speaker, as I round up, we have heard about belt tightening, and in the Governor General, the throne speech, we heard hard times, brace yourself. But on the one hand, we are told hard times, brace yourself. On the other hand, we are told things are good. Mr. Speaker, I'm confused by what is being presented. But Mr. Speaker, if there is to be belt tightening, shouldn't the belt tightening begin with the government so that the people can take their cue from the government? The lavish spending I have seen during the past few weeks, months of this government gives me no hope that there will be belt tightening. From doorknobs in offices being changed to every piece of furniture, nothing changed in my time. Not even the vehicle I drove for 5 years. Not even the vehicle. The policies presented here will put St. Lucia in a worse situation than how it was inherited. In the worst of times, we maintained our credit rating. And I implore this government to keep St. Lucia at the present credit rating that it is, or to improve on it. If you do that, if you can reduce on it, I'm there to see. And if my final statement, Mr. Speaker, is that I am waiting and I am looking, together with the people of Castries Southeast, to see what is promised. Because, Mr. Speaker, we have no hope that what is promised will be delivered. I thank you.